Your workout of the day is run day. We have on a 16-minute clock, ski 800 meters, run 1600 meters, and in the remaining time, complete as many strict pull-ups as possible. There is an RX Plus option today of bar muscle-ups instead of strict pull-ups. How long does it take to run a mile? We should change it to 1609, is it? Is that what a mile is? It's not exactly 1600 meters, is it?
Yeah, we're not going to go run a mile today. we're not running a mile.
How long?
It's less than that.
800 meters on the ski. I'm trying to work that out in my head.
So we budgeted 4 minutes on the ski.
Yeah.
And then 8 minutes on the run.
Oh.
Which is like a slow mile. But we're not expecting people to go very fast. Not because they're not fast. It's like, it's pace it.
You just know it. Yeah. That leaves a lot of time to do your strict pull-ups at the end.
4 minutes, right?
Yeah. So how many should we be getting there?
30.
You said that with a straight face. That was very impressive. What's the general point of the workout? Is the ski and the run the thing, or pull-ups the thing, or what is it?
Yeah, I think, you know, like we talk about this all the time. We're probably trying to achieve multiple things here.
Yeah.
So with the ski and the run, it's a bit of stamina, cardiovascular endurance. There is muscular systems involved that we're trying to trying to develop some stamina in or some endurance in as well. But overall, like, let's keep a sustained work rate here. And that should be something in the region of 12 minutes of work. That would be a nice cardio blast.
Yeah.
There's not much complexity in it. We can just go and buckle down and get the work done. Then when we come back, we get a chance to build our strength in a pull-up. And the strict pull-ups, we know it's one of our best upper body strength building tools. And the more we get done in a short time, it builds up the intensity a bit. And the intensity is where we get the results. So I would say get back and get busy.
On the run in particular, because we obviously don't do an awful lot of this. So what can people do if they're not a frequent, that was a hard word to say today, frequent runners? What's the thing to keep them moving for 1600 meters?
Yeah, so what gives up for people in a run is often hip flexors get tired and midline gets disorganized, and then the breathing gets disorganized, and then the brain goes, I need a rest. So how we experience that is, I'm going to stop now. So what we're trying to say is, can we avoid or minimize stopping on the run? Mm. Can we just run nonstop? And if you're not used to running, like 1600 meters or eight minutes of that can be a bit daunting. Mm-hmm. And if the best way to keep organized in the midline is to actually control the breathing and let the breathing dictate the pace. So if you have a breath that's out of sync with your running action, that's where it gets random, it gets chaotic, and the system doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. So that's where we have this, you know, exhale on impact framework for running that really helps us say, if I can keep an exhale every fourth step, it means that I'm not working too hard. Because if it's every third step or every second step, it's by definition, we're getting into a different energy system that doesn't last very long. Mm-hmm. So keeping an exhale, so I'll go left foot, exhale, and I'll go right foot, and then exhale again on left foot. It's a four-step breathing, we call it. And that's an absolute game changer for people who are not used to running.
Yeah.
It's a skill as well to develop. Most people find it difficult at the start. It gets a bit forced, but you kind of have to go through that phase of it. But it's something to take your mind off the fact that you've got to get to, you know, the fucking 1600 meters done. So you can just say, I'm gonna like focus on the moment, which is my breathing, and before you know it, you're 800 meters in and you're okay.
Yeah, it's a nice little distraction tool as you work that way as well. I find the other side of that, it works really well where if you're focused on your breathing, what you have to do to get that four-step thing to work is actually take significant steps. You can't do the little foot shuffle, because if your feet stay very close to the ground, all of a sudden it turns into exhale 1 2 3 4, exhale 1 2 3 4, exhale 1 2 3 4. And if we do that shuffle, it means the breathing goes out of control again, which means the feet slow, and it's this like vicious cycle rather than a virtuous one, where if we take a full stride, like we have full range of motion through the hip, our heels coming up towards our butt type of thing, that helps us slow down the breathing, which keeps us in control, which helps us keep running as well. So it's this beautiful virtuous thing that goes on there.
Yeah, and nobody likes getting used to it because it's so forced. Like, let me just run. And I'm like, yeah, you can do that whenever you want. Mm. Like, go run whenever you want.
Well, right now.
But right now, if you just get over the hump of the initial contrived breathing thing, it really does change an awful lot. So I think it's worth practicing today.
For the pull-ups and the muscle-ups then, bunches and punches or a big set and big rest, or what's the way to go for these?
I think get that set that's challenging but doesn't slow down. I think that would be like using your speed is a good indicator if you're on the right track. So if you do three and they're all like the same speed pull, and then the fourth one will get very slow, just don't do the fourth one.
Yeah.
But just do multiple sets of those three. If you think you can do eights and it's the ninth one, slow down, do eights.
Yeah.
But just don't take too long rest, because I think playing the game of getting as many as possible here works to our advantage of getting stronger. So yeah, exactly like you said, do a bunch, take a short rest, do it again, accumulate the work.